Welcome to the exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. It's been a few weeks since the traders wrapped up, and I took a bit of a
Man.
podcasting break. But there's a lot of good TV on right now, and so I was like, we gotta catch up. And who better than my guest today, a reality TV expert? You can find him on TikTok, Instagram. He has his own podcast. I want to welcome my guest, Reality Zachary. How are you?
Hello, Sharon. How are you? I'm so excited to be here and get to know you and talk shop with you.
I know. I feel like we've ran in the same reality TV circles. I've seen a ton of your content over the years, and it's finally nice to connect.
You do such a good job with your interviews. I loved all your traders interviews this season. You
Oh, thank
ask like
you.
such straightforward questions, and I really resonate with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, we're gonna dive into a little bit of everything, and I do want to touch on the traders, even though I know it's over.
Right.
But before we get into that, just for my listeners, if they're not familiar with you, what got you into reality TV? What was the show? What was the moment? What was the moment you were like, I'm obsessed?
And literally, my grandma was like babysitting. I was like 6 years old and I wanted to watch SpongeBob. And she was like, we have to watch Survivor. And I'm
I
like,
know it.
yeah. And literally, Survivor raised me. Slowly got into Jersey Shore, America's Next Top Model, Paris Hilton, Bachelor when I was like 10. And I've been watching reality TV forever. But when I went to college, I really learned how much I loved broadcast journalism and that I wanted to be an entertainment host. And there was so much freedom in that. And especially as social media has evolved over the last few years. So I've really kind of put all of those loves together and made a career out of it.
That's funny. The same thing. My grandmother got me into Survivor and then eventually Big Brother, Amazing. And then it just snowballed after
Oh my
that.
God, Amazing Race was everything. I watched Celebrity Apprentice. I watched Marriage Boot
Yes.
Camp. I would love to talk Survivor 50 at some point in this
Oh, we
podcast.
will. Oh,
Yeah.
we will. Don't worry. I've been watching your TikToks too. So if anyone wants some takes on Survivor 50, go watch his TikToks
I
as well.
can't. I just, it's like all I think about right now.
I know. And I'm sure the one other question I had for you, because I'm sure my listeners, and they've asked me this before, as a kid, I would never dream to think this would be my job. But as a content creator, you have made this your job. You have a great following. Like, what sort of got you there? Can you give us a little insight into to how you got to this position?
Well, I mean, I grew up in the theater. So I was an actor. I've, auditioned. Like, I always wanted to be in front of the camera, entertaining, making people laugh. So if I'm able to do that through my other love of reality TV, that's kind of what got me here is the passion, the consistency, the knowledge, the focus, the drive, the flexibility, financially. I mean, it's so fun. This is like a dream job. I want to do it forever. I think Jeff Probst is living my dream job. That's my ultimate goal, is to host my own type of competition show.
Okay, I was going to ask you later in the podcast, would you go on reality TV first of all, or no?
If they ask me 100%, but I'm not into applying, I'm not into auditioning. I want things to find me. But yeah,
Yeah, I
duh.
get that.
It'd
Okay, but
be
you're
so
into
fun.
hosting. You're
I
into
know, but I would
hosting.
love to play the game at least once, like any type of game. Obviously, Survivor is like the groundwork, but anything in that realm, I would love to strategize and see how I would do.
Oh my God. I think it could be fun. Someone else who wants to go on Survivor is Dylan Efron. Like, throw Dylan Efron, you go on there, get some reality TV fans in there. I know
Can
some
you go
people hate
too?
it. I know
Will
I
you
would
come with
suck.
us?
I would be
Okay.
crying.
Would you do Traitors?
I think I would do Traitors because it's, a few, I don't know. I'm not like an outside kind of girl, I guess you would say. So I couldn't do Survivor.
Yes. Me neither,
But
though. Like, it's just that, like, I'm such a fan of the show. I would have to try, but I don't know how
yeah.
to start a fire and I don't want to learn.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe if I was asked, I would end up doing it, but it's
I'm
just
like,
not, yeah, it's
yeah.
not the first choice.
Right. I'm like, someone has to ask me and then I'll say yes to life.
Yeah, okay, fair. So briefly we'll touch on the traders because I know it's over. Big takeaways this season. Anyone you would like to see back?
I don't like seeing when people come back. I mean, Kate Chastain has been so fun, but there's rumors that Dorinda's coming back, and like, I wasn't even a fan of Dorinda. I think she's has too, like so much energy that's like, a lot to handle. It's so dramatic.
Fair.
So I don't really want to see her back. So I don't like when people come back. I think people, it's either an all-star season or all newbies.
I think a lot of people agree with you, so I don't hate that take. But do you see them doing a reality, or I'm sorry, an all-star season fairly soon, or you think they're going to hold out a little bit?
There's no reason to. I feel like there's so many people we want to see play, and it's a different show because it's like they're casting celebrities versus like normal people who then become, reality TV celebrities.
I know. I'm like wondering if they should do sort of what the UK, I guess, is doing now, like a celebrity version once a year and then a regular version. Because, like,
Yes.
the regular version of the UK one is so messy. I love it. And I'm just like, are we missing out on that?
I liked the first season with the 10 and 10. I think it really adds a different dynamic. You get to see both aspects of the show.
Yeah, I know people didn't love some of the, like, quote unquote, regular people, but like, maybe that was just the cast. Like, I don't know. It could be good, but I understand people didn't love it. Mm-hmm. But okay. So Traitors, season 4 is coming up. I think they're filming June. Anyone you're dying to see? Anything you've heard? I don't know.
Well, the rumors are like, what? Like NeNe Leakes, Eva Marcel, Dorinda, Margaret mm-hmm. Josephs. I would love to see NeNe Leakes. I mean, she has such a big personality, almost too big for the castle. I've been saying Brandi Cyrus just because I really think she'll bring that Dylan Efron energy, but in female. So, and Brandy's like would be all about it. So I'm manifesting that for her. And I also want to see Caitlin Bristow. She's from The Bachelorette. I mean, she would just be so chaotic in there in the best way. And not that I want to see her and Jason, but I mean, exes.
Yeah.
Like those connections kind of work, I think. And we saw that with Parvati and Sandra. I mean, any type of beef, any type of breakup, I think bringing those connections to Danielle and Brittany is what's going to make a good season.
I agree. You don't want the whole cast to be connected, but you need a few to like have a through line of a storyline or something. So totally agree. I kind of like the Caitlin pick. I was, you know, I watched Bachelor and Bachelorette for many years. I fell off. I don't even know when it was, maybe around Rachel Lindsay's season, somewhere around there.
Got it.
But would love that. Who else did you say? Anyone?
Well, I think that they pick people from each franchise. I mean, Russell Hantz would be crazy if we're talking Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see him doing it because apparently did he get dropped from 50? Was he ever on 50? What is going on with all these rumors?
I don't think he said anything about 50 yet, but I heard they're going to film in May or June. And like, I like cast leaks. I don't know if you do, but like, it was interesting with the Traitors how they released the cast while they were filming to kind of avoid the leaks or just let us know. It builds more hype around the show. I don't necessarily want spoilers, but I do like to know as soon as they start filming. And it seems like in the next couple of months, we're going to get some really juicy tea on the cast.
I agree. I did actually tell CBS, like, hey, because The Amazing Race is filming right now with an all BB cast. And I was like, I told them, I go, this cast is going to leak. There's going to be sightings or someone's going to talk. Like, I'm already hearing names. And I was like, it might be beneficial to release the cast, like, when they leave, because I know that's what Peacock does. And I do think it's smart too, because, like, why not build the hype? And they didn't. And I don't know if they're going to do it with 50, but like, it's kind of like, why not? What are you losing?
Yeah, just more speculation, 6 months of curiosity. And I love that Amazing Race is doing that because that's such a great show. If they did that with Bachelor couples, Survivor couples, I mean, friendships, they could really, you know, bring Amazing Race back. I mean, for people who love adventure, travel, competition, Amazing Race has so much to offer. And I miss watching it. I used to watch it.
I know. I still watch it, but I feel like a spark is missing and I'm not really sure what it is. And, you know, I don't want to shit on like CBS or the networks too. I get they all have budgetary restrictions, but it is very obvious now that like the big streaming and even, you know, Peacock coming in with these big salaries. And I think the smaller networks or the networks that are a little, you know, have tighter budgets, I think are worried. And, you know, I wonder if all the changes for 50 and having Big Brother people on Amazing Race is like CBS being like, we need to claim our people because they're going elsewhere. I don't know. What do you think?
I thought Jeff was being so sensitive, Jeff Probst, when he was saying, we don't like when people do Traitors. And I'm just like, just say Carolyn, just at Carolyn. Because if anything, Traitors is making Survivor relevant again. I mean, like that is the point of these crossover shows. And that's why I love Big Brother, Amazing Race. Like keep crossing over. That's what the fans want at this point. We just want to see crossover, crossover, and crossover.
Right. Like no one's complaining. And to be honest, whoever is running the Survivor and Big Brother, I think definitely Survivor Instagram and TikTok, and they're embracing it because they're tweeting about it. They're posting about it. So it's like, you're right. I don't think it has to be like a one or the other thing. I think they are bringing relevance. Like Boston Rob is like making another name. Parvati, they're coming back and people are like, oh, Survivor, that's still on. So I think
it
should be a positive thing. I don't know.
You know, it's so crazy because it's like you watch TV as a kid before social media. Like, I didn't really go on social media until I started working in it. So it's like you don't even realize how many people are just like you and have seen the shows, because you don't hear about these shows for years or these seasons. So it's like so much fun for reality TV to find the nostalgia again. And I think that's why we're in the best reality TV we've ever been in.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is why every streaming network, we're seeing a new show like every week. I think Got to Get Out is coming up. There's that boot camp one. There's some fun stuff coming up. And we're seeing big names, like some people come out of retirement, quote unquote. But really quick, yeah, the NeNe thing. I was like not a big housewife person, but I used to cover Atlanta back in the day. And NeNe was just my favorite. And she's just such good TV. And I don't know, like, was there like a brush up with NBC or Bravo at one point? And I was like, is she good with them or is there still bad blood there? Do you know?
Yeah. There was beef for a while. I mean, NeNe was very outspoken. She was shading Andy. She felt mistreated by production, lost her job. There was a lawsuit for a while. I think they settled like a year ago in some way. And NeNe did end up hosting like a People's Choice Awards after show with E!, which is under the NBC umbrella. Yeah, she did that last year with Ariana Maddox and someone else. So she is back on better terms with them. So that's good.
Okay, that's promising. I was worried. I was like, because I wouldn't want that to hurt her chances, because she would just kill it on that show. And so
but she would be a traitor. They would have to make her a traitor. And how could you not? And like, she's definitely gonna, I wonder if her personality would be too big that she would only make it a few episodes.
You're right. I know. She could flame out because like, she's so, either way, I want to see it. Either way,
like,
I want to see
my hottest take this season is like, the way to win traitors is to be Ivor. Like, you are so under the radar that people forget you're in the room. People can't even feel you breathing. And I feel like Ivor just won the show. Like, we have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I guess so. What did you think of Dolores' game? Because she, you know, she was more outspoken than Ivor, at least. But she also played, like, lower key, I guess.
And that's how you win. It's like, you got to be the most likable and the most low key. And you just have to get along with everyone. Everyone has to trust you. And Dolores does that on the Jersey Housewives. Like, that cast, like, hates each other. There's two different sides. And Dolores is the only person able to be neutral. So I was not surprised that Dolores was able to win the trust of the traitors and the faithfuls on the show. I definitely think she played a great game, regardless of if she voted wrong. That's not the point of the show. The point is to just outlast.
I agree. I always said, like, if you win the show, you did what you had to do to win. And you're right. Like, all four of them were pretty well-liked, likable people. And it is interesting that the four of them got to the end. So yeah, you're not wrong there.
I mean, I love the villains. I like the traitors. So I was rooting for Brittany until the last straw. Like, I was like convincing myself Brittany was going to find a way to win. I was in denial. But of course, I think the people who won deserved it. And they all played a great game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. And just going back to Survivor 50, like, I saw some of your TikToks. You had mentioned Amanda Kimmel. Who else are you thinking you'd like to see? And who are you like, we don't need to see them again?
Right. I mean, Amanda Kimmel, I think, is like the number one. Like, people really want her to win because she was so close two seasons in a row. And like, she got outshined by Parvati in some ways, but she was a star of her own. So we need her back. We need Russell Hance back. I want to see Andrea Belkey. I love her so much. I want to see Malcolm. I definitely want to see people, like Jeff said, as OG as you can get. I mean, I remember people from seasons 1 through 20, like, those teen seasons were great. So definitely as many OG people as possible. I don't want any winners there. And I don't want people there who've played more than like three times, unless it's like Amanda or someone who was like, it's been 20 years, because it's just like, we cannot repeat history. But as far as the new seasons, like, I really haven't seen the 30s and 40s. So I'm excited to get to know a few new people, but I don't know who's iconic from those seasons.
That's funny, because I saw you say that and I had the same thing. Like, I'm pretty much watched every season up to like 42. And then I fell off for a few seasons and I don't know what it is. Like, maybe I don't remember the seasons. They all blend together because they don't theme anymore.
Yeah.
Or I'm not or really countries. Loving all the, or the countries or, and I'm not really loving all, like, even the advantages and stuff. Like, I could get past that.
But I hate, like, the advantages.
It is a lot. It's hard to keep track. I don't remember people's names. I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit of a different show. But yeah, I was wondering what sort of made you fall off as well.
Yeah, because it used to be about the relationships and the drama and the buildup. And I feel like they could rely more on that back in the day. It was more about the relationships. Now it's become more game, 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 advantage, advantage, advantage. I mean, nobody should be stealing a vote. No one should be losing their vote. There should be no such thing as a shot in the dark. I think the someone said it best. They're like, we just need more idols. Just make them more idols and then no other rules.
At least, like, your fate is a little bit more in your hands. Like, I don't love all these journeys they take, and it's like a chance thing. And I'm like, I don't like that. And then you automatically lose your vote or whatever. Yeah, not a fan.
They
I
need to
am
lean
watching.
into, sorry, they need to lean into the personalities of the characters on the show, and that's how they'll get it back.
I agree. I feel sometimes that it's a little forced. I don't know. It just always felt more natural back in the day. And I hate to be like that person, but. I agree. We definitely get narratives like here, like the Joe and Eva story was like a big moment. Are you watching this season, by the way? I think like
Yeah, I'm
you
watching this
are, right?
season, but I'm like slowly, it's gonna take me like until the merge to be fully able to like talk about it.
I agree. I tweeted this. I was like, I won't remember anyone's name till the merge.
Yeah, I know Sai, and I don't think I like her because she was like doing too much in the first episode. And I really like, I think her name's Lily. She's
Lily.
Asian. She's
Oh,
she,
oh. Mary?
yeah, is that her name? I love her. I
Mary
think
is
she's
the
so cute.
best.
She played her shot in the dark and it worked for her, and I was happy for her because she was on the outs for like no reason. And I want to see her go all the way.
Same. She's to me is like the quintessential queen where like she's unbothered, but she's like cutthroat and also just, I don't know, fun character. Love watching her. But yeah, I was gonna say like this season, I'm coming around on Survivor, coming back around a little bit. But yeah, so the newer era players, I agree. I'm not super familiar with some of them, and I hate to be that person, but I would love to see old school players as well. Similar to you, I don't really need to see someone that's played 5 times, although Serene might be the only exception. Like I'm not gonna complain if she's on because it does sound like she might be on. But yeah, what do you were you a Serene fan
Oh,
or
of course. I remember her from
yeah.
Survivor Panama, but Micronesia is my favorite season of all time, season 16, tied with 20, Heroes vs. Villains. So I was a huge Suri fan, but my number one player always was Parvati as a kid. Now I've gotten to interview her a couple times, and I loved Russell Hantz, but I think he's kind of gotten crazy, so that sucks.
I know it sucks. I feel like he's kind of, again, I haven't caught up with him, but just from what I hear or see, not sure he's in the best relationship with CBS right now, but you know, doesn't matter for traitors.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, the next couple of months will be exciting because people go, this is the time of year people go film, right? May, June. So there is going to be a lot of crossover casts dropping, and I just can't wait to see.
What about Earl? I know you don't want winners, but I do feel like someone like Earl, he didn't get, you know, he wasn't on Winners at War. I
He
wouldn't
should have
hate to
been.
see him. Yeah.
Fiji was a good season, right?
Yeah.
I
I
would
don't
be,
know.
yeah, I just don't think it's fair to see winners. I think that it's like, but Jeff was saying like he wants people to come back who have something to prove. And it's just like, what fight does Earl have, you know?
Good point. Good point. I also understand because I think the new era players, the frustration there is that there hasn't been a returning player season in 10 seasons at this point, or almost 10 seasons. And so they didn't have the opportunity to maybe build their character again. Like so many of our favorite players played probably at least twice, not all of them, of course. But I get the frustration, but it is when I, you know, see people tweeting and stuff about being dropped from the cast, like part of me is like, you guys know the deal here. Like this is how it works. They cast a wide net and they tell you all like we want you so bad, and then they just it's kind of just how it works.
I know a lot of people seem to be a little bitter, which like I can understand the disappointment. Either way, like you know, I appreciate the tea because now we're getting closer to finding out the cast, so we know who's out. So, you know, I love that they're spilling it.
That's a good point. And I wonder if, because obviously Jeff's very involved. He's an executive producer and, you know, he's been on the show for forever. So I'm sure he has a hand in the casting choices to some degree. But I'm wondering, because people are getting cut and it seems to be all like newer people, if CBS or someone was like, you know what, we got to bring back people. I know we wanted to do this new era thing, give them all a chance, but we need to bring back old Survivor a little bit. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we'll get people from each generation. I mean, Carolyn also did say, like, gotta make room for the grannies, which was kind of implying she was cut and that, you know, they were making more
Oh.
room for old school players. Yeah. This was like 2 weeks
Got
ago. She put that on her Instagram story. So I think we'll get people from each genre, from each era, and we're going to find out in like June, right? So it's exciting. Yeah,
it's exciting. I did hear like maybe Elizabeth Hasselbeck, maybe, I don't know, some really old school names.
Rob Sesternino needs to do it too. I mean, he's probably the biggest podcaster from Survivor.
Yeah. And I think I've listened to Rob for years, and I know for a long time he was like, no, no, no. And I think he finally is like, yeah, I'll do it. I do it again. And I think it would be fun to see him. So
we'll know totally support that. if he stops podcasting, we know where he is.
Exactly. We have our eyes on you, Rob. Mm-hmm. Did you end up watching Deal or No Deal Island? Cause I know you're a Parvati fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the whole season. I interviewed the cast each week.
Oh, and what was your thoughts on that? And overall as a show, like, do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. I mean, it's not my favorite show, but I liked watching it. It was fun. I wasn't like, oh my God, but it was interesting. And I mean, the ending was so crazy with David winning $5.8 million and just how ballsy he was with saying no deal, no deal all the way till the end. I mean, I guess it was different because he is in the world. Like, he's made some money, so he doesn't have much to lose, but a normal person would have took $1.5 million and left.
It was insane. Like, props to him. But I kind of agree with you. I don't know if I would continue to watch if there wasn't someone on the cast I knew.
Yeah.
I think the game mechanics can be a little confused. Like, when they're doing challenges and stuff, I'm like, huh, what is this? But that's true of most shows I watch. I'm like, I don't really care about the challenges.
That's the thing. Like, sometimes the challenges are fun, and we have to give credit to Traders for being so creative. But I love those challenges on Survivor, like the auction, or, you know, pick someone's name who's most likely. I do like a lot of the challenges. I think we also need to just like train our brains to watch TV again and put the phone down. And maybe it's hard for us as creators, like we're tweeting throughout the show, but it's like hard to, you really do have to pay attention in order to like it. And I often find myself getting distracted by social media and taking notes, you know, which could take some joy away from a show.
That is such a good point. Like, I did not even think about that, but you're so right. And I think when I talk about competitions, I'm probably a little biased in talking about Big Brother, because a lot of, you know, we have live feeds and we have three episodes a week, and so much of the show is dedicated to competitions that we're not seeing the relationships as much. So that's probably what. But you're not wrong. Like, some of the competitions like are classics, especially on Survivor, that I do enjoy watching.
I like the raising hand challenge. I'm like, that seems so fun. Like, I want to participate in that and see how far I can go.
Oh, you see, I would be terrible at that, but I don't know.
I might be too. I have no idea unless you try, right?
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about some Bravo shows. Southern Charm, I think by the time this goes up, the second part of the reunion would have, you know, aired. A lot of it was, you know, Paige and Craig, sort of, where do you sort of stand? I feel like it's gotten a little messy, which makes me sad, because I actually like both of them differently and separately. But what are your thoughts?
It did get messy. I mean, part of it is just like, of course it's going to get messy when they have reunions and shows airing and interviews. Like, when people are asking you all day, every day, what your thoughts are, like, you know, I am actually like becoming more and more team Craig. And I love Paige, like, she's an icon. But as far as like the breakup, it really felt like Paige was checked out for 6 months plus before she cut the cord and ended it. And this poor guy was trying to plan their future. And I really didn't think he was hating on her career. I think he just like expected after 3 years that they were going to start planning a wedding and having kids. And she had a different path, which is amazing for her, but she should have just ended it sooner instead of stringing him along. And that's why I, you know, am siding with Craig on this breakup at the moment.
You're not wrong. I think that makes sense. We're seeing it play out in Summer House a little bit. You could tell Paige is kind of like, you know, slowly a little, maybe getting the ick from him, or like getting a little more annoyed with him. I think two things could be true at once. I think, like you said, both of them, their feelings are sort of valid in what they're doing. And I want to say one thing, because it annoys me when people get interviewed, and as someone who interviews, and you as well, like, can we stop asking people like when they're getting married and when they're having children? Every interview with the two of them, like, I felt so bad for them because that's all they were asked. And I don't think that, you know, breaks a relationship, but I think it gets annoying. Like, sometimes people, I don't know, that just annoyed me every time.
Well, it just seems like they had different timelines and different goals. And that's why it's just like Paige's timeline and goals changed, because she really kind of blew up last year and became a different person. So that's why I'm sure it was hard for her to like prioritize Craig's feelings when like she really just had so much going on. So I do understand that, like, she was processing her new life and, like, this rise of fame that came out of nowhere that she's been working towards her whole life. So, I mean, so proud of her. I think she's going to do big things. But I think she, you know, she really was so great and eloquent when she talked about the breakup for the first time on her podcast. Like, she explained everything perfectly. I was so Team Paige. But now watching Summer House and just seeing her, like, talking trash about Craig, it's just, like, not fair to paint him in this light that, like, he really didn't do anything.
You could tell she was over it because she started talking about on camera. She never disparaged Craig. Like, she always defended him. And the fact that she was allowing herself to talk to Sierra about it, and Sierra was trying to cover it up a little bit, but, like, that to me was the moment where I was like, okay, yeah, I think in her back of her mind, she was like, this is going to end soon. I mean,
that would lose my trust. You're my partner. Yeah. Like, I do not need you talking trash about me on your show to your other friends. And, you know, now all your friends are talking trash about me. Like, really? I trusted you. I loved you. Like, I feel for Craig. I just think there should have been more of a level of respect there. And, like, Craig was not engaging in the online drama. He wasn't.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Talk to me about Vanita and JT. Like, I'm still confused about this timeline. Like, what? I don't understand.
Okay, here's my take. I don't care about them. Like, I'm so bored.
Wait, I love it.
So weird. I just, like, don't get it. Vanita, like, what are you doing? Like, you're literally grasping at straws here. Like, JT's been a jerk for years. Like, you're such a queen. Like, why are you wasting your time, your storyline, your energy on someone who's so irrelevant and needs to get off of the show? Like, JT seems fine. Like, I don't want to trash him, but, like, he's got to leave the show and move on. And Vanita needs to go to Southern Hospitality.
Oh my God, what a take. That's hilarious. Yeah, she says in the reunion, like, yeah, she still wants to be with him. And she just, again, I don't like to call a woman, like, she comes off a little desperate. And I'm like, Vanita, you're better than this. Like, what are we doing here?
I'm just, like, so confused. Like, is this,
I know.
Like, Vanita, like, you're a queen. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think she'll see the light. I hope so.
I'm just going to, like, say that maybe, just maybe, it's her only way to stay on the show.
Maybe, which makes me sad. But what about Shep and Sienna? What was that about? Were they trying to make a storyline? Like, what was going on?
The reason why I don't care about Southern Charm, the second part of the reunion, is because I wanted the Craig and Paige situation. Yes. And I feel like now there's nothing else left to say. Like, happy for Madison and her pregnancy. Definitely Team Sally. Like, same. I feel like Shep just, you know, it's sad. It's sad that he is, you know, when someone doesn't like you, like, if someone likes you, you should know it. And it's like, we can't tolerate that when we're looking for our life partner. Like, you're better than that, than to chase someone who's just, you know, only talking to you when it's convenient.
Yeah, I liked what Craig said at the reunion. He was like, well, I knew I didn't want to be with someone who you had to beg to be with. And that's sort of applicable to everyone, right? Like, hello.
Yeah, I know. And it's just like, Shep, like, come on, bro. I hope, you know, I really hope that he finds someone, but I don't need him as the main character of this show.
I don't know if he still is, to be honest. I feel like Austin and Craig are, I don't know.
Well, Craig is probably the main character. And I love Madison. I mean, she's the main character too.
Madison's probably my favorite person on Bravo, or one of my favorite. I'm obsessed with Madison. I just love a woman. And this is probably why I like Paige too, who just don't really have a filter and, like, are unapologetic in a lot of ways. Like, obviously there are moments I don't agree with them, but I just love that energy, especially on reality TV.
No, how I got into Southern Charm was just a few years back when there was Madison and A-Rod rumors. Yes. And, like, hearing about the reunion where Austin, Shep, and Craig were all, like, going at Madison. Like, she was this evil villain. The three of them were ganging up on her. I was like, how are these men talking to a woman like that? I didn't know any of the backstory, but that's how I got into Southern Charm. And then I started watching ever since.
So did you do Summer House before Southern Charm?
Yeah, Summer House I did a few years before, because I'm from Long Island. So, like, I kind of was familiar with, like, the Hamptons situation. And one time I even saw them filming the show and I was like, no way. It was, like, before I even watched it. So I've been watching Summer House a little bit longer. I watched Vanderpump a little bit longer. And then Housewives I've been watching for, like, 8 years.
Wow, okay. Speaking of Summer House, you know, Jesse Solomon, I feel like last season Wes got the shit. I feel like Jesse's, you know,
showing his true colors.
Yeah, it's coming out. What are your thoughts on him and Lexi? Like, I see I'm not surprised. Bad things from both sides. I don't know.
No, I'm so Team Lexi. Like, literally, Jesse is so fun and nice, but he's just like immature and he's not ready for a relationship. So I'm just so over this conversation. Like, is he, isn't he? Like, he's not. Like, literally, I'll tell you right now, he's not. So it just sucks because Lexi genuinely like thought that there was a chance. And this week's episode, Jesse missed an opportunity to tell Lexi everything before she found out from other people. And he totally just squandered it, which was so disrespectful. So I really hope that she is done with him after this week because he is not ready for a relationship.
No. Also, do you really believe he was in that room and did nothing else? I don't personally, but
I kind of believe him.
Really?
I don't know.
Because yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Because I feel like he's being honest. Like, I think he's like, he's so goofy that like, I feel like he is not this malicious liar.
Okay, that's fair. See, I like how you keep everything very eloquent and fair to people, even if you're not like a big fan of them. So I appreciate that.
I don't want the smoke. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't want drama. Leave me alone. I just want to talk about it. Like, I can't handle that. But also, yeah, like I always try and see the best in people and the best in life. And I mean, it's fun to talk about these shows. We don't want to bash people, but we got to call people out when necessary.
Exactly. And that's what reality TV should be. It should be fun and we can hold people accountable, but like, they're also real people. So everyone calm down. Is Imral doing anything for you? Should he be on the show?
Kind of. I think he's kind of hot.
Oh, I mean, he's an attractive guy. I kind of feel bad that this is his whole storyline, but at the same time, he's not really doing much else.
Well, what he needs to do is he needs to hook up with someone or start flirting with someone in the house. I mean, that's why you're brought there, to be a single guy. So I don't know. Who do you think he should flirt with? Gabby, Sierra, Danielle?
I feel like Sierra has too many suitors at this point.
Wait, what about Lexi? He should scoop in and try and take over Lexi.
I was going to say, like...
Mm-hmm. And step on Jesse's toes. Because even Jesse's trying to, like, be mad at Emeril. I'm like, Emeril didn't do anything. You walked into his room. Like, hello, we're on a TV show. That's like, true. Don't say that Emeril is breaking bro code. You're breaking everything code by being so disrespectful. So take some accountability for your actions and stop thinking everything's a joke. Like, you're hurting people's feelings. Team Lexi.
Wait, yes. And what's with the trailer where it was like, I don't know if it was like deceiving, but it was like, is Jesse jealous of West and Lexi or something in that trailer? I'm sorry.
I didn't see that. No, I don't see that happening.
It must be editing. I don't know. It was weird.
Maybe next year's storyline.
They're going to need one.
Wait, Lindsay and Carl. Like,
yes,
let's talk
we
got to
talk about Lindsay.
Second.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, I think that. Did you see this week's episode?
Yes.
So basically she's like, because of Gabby, basically like Carl, like maybe started DMing a girl before Lindsay and Carl broke up. So that's why Lindsay is like coming to all these conclusions and assumptions off of like hearsay. This is so blown out of proportion. She literally is pregnant and should not even be worrying about Carl or giving him her energy. Like Carl is not talking about her. He's invited her to his opening, which was very nice. He does not need to include her in anything filming, especially if they get paid per episode. So Carl's really being the bigger person. And Lindsay is just talking all this trash about made up scenarios in her head. Who cares if he got a DM? Like if he didn't, it could have been a friend. Like he met the girl's parents. Like, why are you just like getting so worked up and mad at him when you don't even know the opportunity? Like, I think she's just mad at something else.
I think what happened was that she put on her cool hat when she got pregnant and was like, I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to engage. I'm going to let the Carl thing go, be mature. And I think she got triggered when that happened. And she was like, nope, I'm coming back out. I'm not actually okay with everything. I think she tried to play it cool and she just couldn't that much longer. I don't know.
I mean, like, she needs to just give him, she's going to confront him next week about it. And like, even if Carl tells the truth, and like was innocent, like she's still going to be mad at him and she's still going to believe whatever she wants. And like, I don't know if she's only doing this because of the show, you know, like she's like, we're on TV. I'm going to snick it to him. And like, you know, her ego's bruised from Carl, you know, playing victim, you know? So I really hope that it's genuine if she's actually mad that he talked to another girl. Cause I don't think she gives a F. I think she's just doing this to be performative.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with Lindsay over the years. Like, I go back and forth. I think she's a great TV character regardless.
She's fabulous on TV, but yes. Like, she does seem like, you know, she's really stubborn.
What are your thoughts on Danielle just popping in once in a while? I thought the episode, she was like super judgmental and I didn't love that.
Literally, like what? Like, I love a pop-in. I think it's important. Like, I always am here for the friend of the pop-in. I think it just adds more to have more characters. But it just seems like Danielle's like a secret hater of Lindsay.
Yes.
And like, if that's her only way to stay on the show, then like, she's going to be her friend. And I, yeah, I think Lindsay and Danielle just kind of grew apart. So she's still going to hang around a little bit. I don't hate it, but it's just weird.
Yeah, I wonder if she, you know, because she comes in for a day or two of filming. I wonder if she's like, I need to spice this up to get back on the show or something. Because I'm like, why are you coming in so hard?
I mean, if she's asking her the questions, like, that's great. Like, we do need the questions to be answered. But I also agreed with Lindsay when she said, I don't want to move in with him. And Danielle seemed a little judgmental. But everything Lindsay said made sense to me about how she's taking this relationship slower.
I agree. And I personally, I think everyone's relationship could look a little different and doesn't have to be traditional like everyone thinks. So that was my thoughts.
For sure.
But there are rumors that Lindsay is going to leave Summer House. She's going to be a housewife. I know this is like, I think even Andy addressed it. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, yeah, there might not be a place for her on Summer House next year. I mean, she could still pop in a couple episodes, even if she's not a cast member on the show. I do think if the show wants to evolve, they might need to get rid of some of the couples and just kind of make it more young and single and kind of bring in some new energy, really, and you know, do a shakeup. Like, maybe get rid of Kyle and Amanda. I don't know.
I was gonna ask you about Diplo. I mean, Kyle, what, like, I just don't know what he brings anymore.
I mean he's still a good foundation. He's a good foundation on the show, and he is like kind of thinking as a producer now after a while.
He is.
My qualm with Kyle is that, like, maybe Craig did mislead him and wasn't as forthcoming with all the information, but Craig and Kyle are not best friends, so he doesn't owe him any information on his business life and how he wants to make his money. So I really think Kyle overreacted, and I think he shouldn't be telling people who they can partner with, especially not someone you're not best friends with or like brothers with or like sisters. Like, come on.
Agree. I think he's just salty because his business isn't doing well and he needs someone to blame. And honestly, I don't know if he thinks bringing this as a storyline is good. I think it hurts his business. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just think all the like exposing his business problems and stuff, I'm just like, I don't know if that's helping you, bro, but okay.
I mean, I think it could help him if Loverboy was a storyline. Like, he makes it a storyline every season. But the problem is Kyle comes across like a whiny brat who didn't get what he wanted and can't control everyone. And I think that's Kyle's biggest problem. And I love when Amanda is like, dude, like, you don't have to get everyone to agree with you all the time. Like, Amanda is the best thing that's ever happened to Kyle. And I think that he should be taking her advice more because she genuinely cares about him and loves him.
Agree. And sometimes I don't know why. So
if Kyle needs to listen to Amanda, like, literally, I think his life would be a lot better and he would be calmer if he just listened to Amanda and let her take the lead.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Are you watching Below Deck yet this season?
No, I mean, Captain Jason's hot and that trailer's spicy. I do have my Monday nights free now that The Bachelor's over, so I could catch up. Yes.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay. Have you watched all the Below Deck, or you dabble once in a while?
No, I don't even really know Below Deck. The only shows I don't watch on Bravo are like, I don't watch Below Deck. I don't watch Married to Medicine. I don't watch Top Chef. Okay. So yeah, but I watch The Kardashians.
Wait, I wanted to ask you about that because I was a diehard Kardashian fan, and I'm sorry, but I cannot get through these episodes anymore. And I really am trying, but I feel like, and similar to Jersey Shore, which I tried to watch recently and is pretty bad, it's just so manufactured, which I can understand, like, so much is these days, but like, I don't know if it's also because we're seeing things that happened so long ago. I don't know. I just cannot get into the Kardashians. Tell me about that. Like, what do you think?
So the Kardashians are okay. It's great to have on when you're cooking, when it's a Saturday and you just need some mindless TV to watch. It's not appointment television. It's not something I need to see the night that it comes out. I watch it every week, but usually I get to it on the weekend when I have more time, and it's just not a top priority and it's mindless for me. So it's like, I enjoy it a little bit. There's some good moments. And then there's also moments where I'm like, I can be on my phone.
Yeah.
Because they would want me to be too while I'm watching it, right?
Good point. Is there anything you could think they could do to like bring back a spark? I just feel like it's missing something.
Maybe like less of the forced conversations and the obvious forced storylines. I don't know. I kind of think their show's played out, and they have such a loyal fan base that it makes sense why they keep doing it. It's what they're known for. People are going to watch it regardless. But I don't think it's, I think it's already lost its peak of like appointment television, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It will still be popular, and the fans will still enjoy it.
That's a good take too. Like, we can't, you know, there's going to be shows like that. And actually not below, some of Below Deck is that for me, where I'm like, I want to turn my brain off. I don't want to think too hard. I just want to put something on the TV in the background while I'm cleaning or doing something else. So I get it.
Exactly. And I have to give you my hot take on The Bachelor too, before we go. You don't watch Please The Bachelor do. At all, right?
Not anymore, but I am like, what's the tea? What's the latest? Give it to me.
The tea is on Latia. The tea is Latia. We just had the finale last week, and there was a big breakup at the end between Grant and Latia, which there is every season. He ended up proposing to Juliana. But the reason fans were outraged is because he really overpromised Latia, you know, assuring her multiple times that she was the one, telling her mom that she was the one, all the way up until the night before, God. To the point where the show was edited to look like he made his decision right before. So she was just really felt led on more than normal, because there was such a switch up where she literally thought it was her and was promised it was her the night before. And we haven't seen that in years. Usually on The Bachelor, you know, especially the last few years, the runner up or the third runner up is usually very aware, because it becomes too obvious at the end who the lead is picking.
Yeah.
And sure. With Grant, he really seems like he either led Latia on or was genuinely confused. There was some type of switch up at the end, which he got a lot of heat for, but he chose Juliana and they're engaged, and, you know, they're going to move in together in the next few months in Massachusetts, her hometown. And, you know, I think a lot of fans are really just, you know, want justice for Latia, but people also feel like Juliana deserves support too, because she shouldn't be responsible for Grant's mistakes, you know, in that breakup.
Got it. And do we know if Latia has a shot of being the Bachelorette, or?
Well, they're taking a pause from this year because they're doing Bachelor in Paradise, and then they're going to air Golden Bachelor. So they just don't have room for the Bachelorette. So unfortunately, it seems like she missed her opportunity. If there was a Bachelorette this year, she was definitely in the top three running to be the choice. But luckily, she could go to Bachelor in Paradise. I did hear that she is open to it as maybe like a late arrival. So maybe she'll find love there. I think she's definitely better off going to Paradise if she wants to continue her story, because she's going to be in this ABC contract for a year regardless. So it's her only opportunity to be on TV since they're not doing Bachelorette.
That's kind of how I see like CBS people. If you're under contract and they ask you to do Amazing Race, do it. Like, stay on TV while you can, because they might not
take
ask
advantage
you in a year.
Take advantage of the opportunity and the experience. Like, even if you don't think you're going to find love, like, show off your bikinis, like, you know, get some followers so you can make some brand deals, or maybe you'll find love and make new friends or show the world a different side of you. I think she definitely should do it. People were really rooting for her. She has a lot of fans. I really like her, and I wish the best for Juliana and Grant too. I was disappointed in how he handled that breakup, but ultimately I want to give him the benefit of the doubt with Juliana and trust her judgment and be happy for them, because they seem like they're going to give it a genuine effort.
It always seems like the guys are messy at the end, like promising things. I don't know. Maybe I'm generalizing, but just
I mean, it's hard. You know, these girls are maybe a little bit more needy on the show because they want the man's attention. And I think that it's hard when they're so beautiful and they have, you know, tap their eyes, and you want to marry all of them. So it's hard when they pick such beautiful women every season.
That's a good point. I feel like the girls are always better than the guys.
All the Bachelorettes are iconic. I mean, a lot of times the Bachelors could be like duds. They're not fan favorites. They're just like some Joe Schmo. It used to be more desirable, but the women are always beautiful. Resume. I mean, all of the Bachelorettes are iconic. I mean, you saw Gabby Windy on Traitors. How amazing is she?
Like, I saw Justin Bieber's story today, and he's posting Gabby videos and quotes and stuff. And I'm like, this is...
So where should she go next? Because she needs to continue TV, and she already did All Things Bachelor. She did Dancing with the Stars.
She's not a villain, so she couldn't do House of Villains. I don't want to see her on The Challenge. I feel like she's too good for that. I mean, no offense to The Challenge people, but I don't think that's
her. She could host something.
She could. She could go like an Ariana route and try to get like a hosting gig.
Yeah, I kind of see that for her.
Does she have a podcast?
She does, and it's doing really well right now. It's really popped off since Traitors.
I could see her, you know, like, I love her voice and the way she speaks. I'm sure it's grating after a while, but like, it's so funny to me.
She's hilarious. She's really sweet too. I've interviewed her. I've met her a couple times. She has no ego. Like, she's just a cool girl. Like, and she's an introvert, and I think in a lot of ways, and she's a talent.
That's amazing. I could see that. I could see that. I've heard she's great. But yeah. Oh, and Bachelor, just because like this has popped up on my feed a lot, and I know we're like past this, but any thoughts like on all the like Matt James Rachel stuff?
Yeah. You know, I got to meet Rachel a couple of weeks ago for the first time. So it was so exciting because I was really invested in that breakup. I was really shocked and disappointed. The tea was interesting how like Tyler Cameron seems to be friends with Rachel now because Tyler used to be Matt's best friend, or I think he still is. They're still on good terms because they just were commenting at each other like yesterday. But I just thought it was interesting because the narrative to the public was always that Rachel and Tyler had a love-hate relationship. But ultimately, I think Rachel told the truth of what happened, and she did a follow-up interview on The Squeeze, and she said that she, you know, doesn't really have regrets. Maybe her biggest regret was not standing up for herself more and, you know, getting too comfortable being, you know, submissive in a relationship. And ultimately, Matt seems like the type of guy that is not going to ever talk about it. So I don't know if we'll ever hear his perspective. It seems like Rachel painted things accurately. She wasn't trying to villainize him.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's probably not speaking out because he just wants to get into his back into his food stuff, which, you know, from a PR perspective, I don't know. Maybe it was smart, maybe not. Because it sounds like, yeah, Rachel was telling the truth. So, like, what would he even really say? Like, sorry, yeah. I'm a dick. I don't know.
I mean, he could address it on a podcast one day in some regards. He doesn't need to go into full detail.
Good point. He could apologize at least, yeah. Any other shows that I should be watching or we need to talk about?
Well, Temptation Island just came out and it was a huge hurrah. So if you guys watched that, I did just interview Ashley this morning. She had like this huge breakup with Grant, who she knew was going to cheat on her. But once they went to Temptation Island, she actually saw it on the footage of him cheating. And that's when she won it. She broke up with him, but then she got back with him. So she had a lot to say. So I think that's interesting if you're down for like a quick binge on Netflix. Yeah. But ultimately, a lot of shows are ending right now and we have new shows coming up. So I think the Hulu show will be interesting, Got to Get Out. And I mean, I'm watching Beverly Hills Housewives, that reunion, and Atlanta Housewives is really good because next week, Kenya is about to show allegedly, you know, some porn type of videos of another housewife who was coming at her for no reason. And it's Atlanta's going to pop off next week. So I think everybody needs to see what's going on Sunday. It's about to blow up.
I know. I need to just get back into the Housewives. I'm just like so overwhelmed by how many seasons there are. I'm like, where do I start? But maybe just, Atlanta, because I've seen so many.
I always say just start picking up on what's current so then you can get involved in the internet and that will help you like it more.
Good point.
And then you can decide to go back if you want after that. But I would always, my advice, if you want to get into Housewives, just whatever's on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, just watch that.
Okay. And you're right. I can always go back and watch like what I missed.
But you'll enjoy it if you like are up to a current date, and they do a pretty good job at flashbacks and explaining things. So that's my advice.
Perfect. Okay. Mm. Well, thank you so much for joining me. For my listeners, like, where can they find your content, binge your stuff?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to meet you in person and hang.
I know.
And chat more. I'll have you on my podcast next. But everyone can follow me at Zachary Reality. So I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, I'm on YouTube. And then as a podcast, I do all interviews just like you. And it's just at Zachary Reality everywhere.
I love that. And do you come out every week at the same time? Because for me, I just drop them as I have them.
I wish I could. But I do it all myself. I don't have a producer. I wish I did. So because I just do it all my own, I just drop it. I can drop 3 a day. Some interviews are 8 minutes. Some are 40. I can drop some amount a week. And I kind of think that people like that now because I like to just binge podcasts on my road trips or whenever I'm bored around the house and just sitting on the balcony. So I think fans don't care anymore about like when you're posting or the time. Like they'll catch it when they're free.
Yeah. As long as you're posting, I don't think it matters as much anymore. So totally.
Just make it a free for all.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining me. You know, for the listeners, please like and subscribe, hit that subscribe button if you don't mind. And I will be back hopefully soon before Big Brother, let's say, because Big Brother's kind of, well, it'll come up quick, but yeah, thank you so much for joining me.
Bye everybody.